If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the beloved, in the divine light and sound that is that stream that flows multidimensionally through the many of us here in time and space. We greet you and we bless you. And we ask that you call yourself forward at this time and present yourself as that flowing continuum that is the divine love and light and living word of the Supreme. That is what you are. That is what you bring. That is why you present yourself into time and space as a gifting and as a living tributary of grace. So our seminar topic this evening is, have you landed yet? Have you landed yet? You know, you're probably asking at this point, landed? What is he talking about? Where? What? What we're speaking about is, have you landed in your life? Have you landed in your situation, in your relationships, in your body, and most of all, in your heart? Have you fully shown up in this incarnation as the pure, loving being that you are? And are you fully participating in your life? That's the telling thing, really. Because when you're fully landed, you're participating full on in your life. And, you know, every day I get emails from people. And it seems that so many want to know, when the spaceships are going to land, when are the extraterrestrials or the Ashtar Command going to show up? And most of all, question I hear most, when are we going home? And some of you folks want to go home, and you have never fully landed yet. You want to bail on the mission when you haven't even begun it. So, is that you, perhaps? Have you heard yourself wondering along these lines or asking these kind of questions? And let me ask you, have you ever deeply considered what part of you, which level of your consciousness, is asking these questions or would even think of asking questions such as this? And you know there's no right or wrong being implied here. It's just suggesting that this is an area that masks a much deeper longing. There's something behind these questions that have nothing to do with the surface questions whatsoever. And it's our desire that you really find what it is that you're truly seeking, and that you be happy. But that part that's asking these kind of questions, that's seeking in the outer phenomenal universes, can never be satisfied with mental level questions. Because the problem isn't in that level. And the solution isn't in that level. So this is something that one's mind can give no response whatsoever that would satisfy that deeper longing. And that deeper longing comes from a spiritual level that the mind completely is ignorant of. It can't comprehend that level. It doesn't care about that level. But it keeps generating question after question after question, because that's the nature of the mind, to keep you seeking and never finding. So the mind can only ask questions, but can give no answer. Now please understand, that part of you that comes up with questions is actually using questioning as a defense against knowing. Yeah, think about it. You can call someone like myself, or email someone like myself, or post a Facebook message to me and ask questions, and I can see very clearly that if you just stopped yourself from asking the question, took a deep breath, and very quietly moved your inner awareness to what you know. You know, it's going to be a shifting sand here, because you'll know different things, perhaps at different levels and times in your life. But you couldn't have a question that you haven't already gotten the answer back to back with the question. Questions and answers come as a unit, just like problems and solutions, or like a coin, back to back. So the question actually points you to where the answer is, and it's always within yourself. And until you find that place where you can move your consciousness, your inner awareness to that knowing, you're going to keep experiencing doubt. Because until it comes to you and through you directly, you're going to keep doubting and having questions and debating the issues, but you won't move to the knowing. You'll still be in that labyrinth of the mind. So you see, in a sense, questions hide behind the deceit of pretending that you don't know. How could you possibly not know when in truth your real nature as a spiritual being is omniscient, which means all-knowing? There's a part of you that's one with God that knows everything. Now, doesn't mean that you have to bring that knowing through in its totality in your physical level. I mean, what would you do with the information? But you're always given light for the step ahead. You're always given operational, intuitive directives for anything that you have to facilitate in your life. So you don't need the whole, you know, divine encyclopedic library. You only need the answer for the situation at hand. Otherwise, it's just your monkey mind fooling around with you. So now we are speaking about spiritual levels here and now. We're not referring to the third dimensional kind of how to do questions that pertain to things in the world. Some of you, granted, come from, I would say, either Devic incarnations, where you've been embodied in the various kingdoms of nature, non-human necessarily, human form, but not in the human level that has the ego mind. So you're kind of clueless as to how to define yourself. You're used to working in teams, in creative teamwork and endeavor. Devic beings don't have much of a sense of individual selfhood. They don't have what we would call the human ego structure, where you can say, well, I'm a something and I do this and I know how to do this. A Devic spirit is kind of innocent of the really rigid parameters of the average human ego mind. So you have a different equation if you come from that background. And then included in that are extraterrestrial souls who embody, sometimes for the first time in the human kingdom. Sometimes they're from the angelic realms, sometimes a Devic, sometimes they're a combination, sometimes they're simply a being from another planetary world or dimensional realm, or one of the many interplane realms and worlds, and they've never actually densified into a human form. And they, too, really don't know how to operate the equipment down here. It's very hard for them to ground, very hard for them to get a sense of secure footing on the Earth. Sometimes these people, their bodies, they can't quite make their bodies coordinate. Sometimes they tend to be a little bit awkward or clumsy because you can tell that they're not quite in their bodies. And when I say in the body, I would mean integrated sentiency, let's say, integrated sense of being that can function well through the nervous system and the chakra system of this energy field that we call the, quote, body, with its subtle, you know, the subtle vehicles that interface with the physicality. And so people like that sometimes are very, very challenged in integrating and grounding their energy. I had that problem myself when I integrated from the future back into this time place on the timeline, which to me, from where I come from, is in the past. And I personally, as Commander Lady Athena, had never been integrated in a physical body. So I was clueless as to how to operate it. It's somebody else's body, albeit an aspect of myself from the past. Nevertheless, I didn't personally have an experience of how to operate the equipment. And I needed a lot of help to interpret the reality here. Why people behave and think and act as they do was all very strange to me. And so I encounter a lot of you that are in similar positions, where for some of you, you're in a very new presentation when it comes to functioning through the ego mind that sees everything in terms of separate. Where we come from, we function from the unified field of Christ consciousness. We don't have that same sense of enemies or you know, outer threats. We just don't have that sense at all. We come from a realm of pure love. So people like you, it's a different thing. You have every right in the world to say, are we done yet? Can we go home? So I'm actually not speaking to you quite so much as I am. Those of you who are light workers and have been around for a while and are still not really landed and integrated in your human life, for whatever reason, you've been hanging out on the sidelines waiting for something phenomenal to happen. And the greatest phenomena that's ever come on this planet is you, as part of the vanguard of light, as the ascension and transition team. You're really the promised one that has come. You are the returned Christ. You are the collective Messiah. You are the group avatar. You are those that have come forward now in a collectivity to do for the whole planet what in previous ages one or two would come in maybe, you know, thousands and thousands of years. So it's a very special time, and I think your needs are very special. So I try to speak into your particular needs and the things that you're going through in each seminar, because I don't know anyone else that's actually doing that in quite this way. So eventually, when you are integrated more with yourself, and the physical and the emotional and the mental levels have enough information and operational definitives, that you become so skilled at operating the human dimension that you can pretty well manage these things with very little effort. It's kind of like driving a car or riding a bicycle. Once you've learned the logistical details, it just becomes automatic. So this is what we are looking for, so that we can lay aside personal concern about ourselves and how our body's moving through the dimension and the needs that accrue with a physical presentation, like you have to eat and sleep and so forth. But eventually, you can handle that without very much attention to it. It becomes automatic, and there's other levels of your consciousness that can run those levels and take care of them to release you as a spiritual being to higher work, which is really where our work is. We're here to be multidimensional and to function in a multidimensional way so that we don't look weird, because as you've noticed, they give you problems on this planet if you kind of step too far out of the chicken coop. You know what I mean? You kind of have to keep it looking kind of ordinary, kind of normal, and you know, it's kind of like enacting a role so that you don't freak out the indigenous humans here on this planet. But what we have seen kind of appearing rather consistently within the light worker community, and I would have to say probably especially those who are involved with ascension, or UFOs, or extraterrestrials, or the disclosure scenarios, or the many funding scenarios, or, you know, every single scenario that postpones moving into these higher levels now, that puts them out on a date like 2012, 2013, 2014, 2025, 2050, you'll notice that as each date passes, there'll be another date that's presented. And it keeps you waiting and hoping and fantasizing, and meanwhile, kind of idle and wasting time, kind of sitting on the sidelines of everything, and nothing happens. So many light workers, and I could also say here would-be light workers, are looking for the ships to land when they've not really fully landed here themselves. Some are seeking to ascend before they've ever really fully descended. And those of you that have heard me speak about ascension know that the key to ascension is full descension. You have to get down here fully before you can ascend beyond this level. So they've not really fully been present in their life here. So what we are speaking about is fully showing up in your life. You know, playing the game like a good sportsman, like a good sport, participating. And thus, you know, many of you are sitting on the sidelines and waiting for some phenomenal event to occur, which, you know, some call it rapture, some the evacuation and liftoff by the UFOs, or ascension, or the return of Christ, or, I mean, there's so many out there. But it all boils down to a kind of wishful thinking and fantasizing, which basically puts you in a state of ongoing discontent with what's going on in your life, or what you fantasize is not going on in your life, and consequently, you're idle and you're missing in action when it comes to the mission. So waiting for some outer event to transform your life, bottom line, is where a lot of people are being stuck right now. To land in your life means to get involved in your life. It means to participate to the fullest degree within your available parameters, you know, within your present circumstances. Participate, get involved with the people around you, the people in your life, the people that present themselves into your space. And it means also, above all, to enjoy life, to the fullest extent possible. So to fully experience being alive, This is what we're talking about, here and now. It involves using all of your senses, all of your feelings, your ability to enter into the experiences life brings towards you, full on, without denying or avoiding or repression or suppression. You'll notice any time a natural, normal behavior is artificially imposed, some rule, let's say, is imposed from without, it's not coming from your own spiritual directive. And it means that when that directive, for whatever reason, is lifted, you'll go fully back into that other thing because you hadn't fully entered in and had your fill of it. I've never seen this fail. You know, some orders demand that you be vegetarian. So the first thing you do when you get a good chance is go have a hamburger or steak. Some orders you're required to be celibate. I can tell you from personal experience, once you're forced into celibacy, sex is probably the main thing that you have on your mind 24/7. It's like, you know, someone coming and saying, don't think of the monkey. What you're going to think of is the monkey, right? There's even certain groups where they make you keep a sex diary of all of your sexual thoughts. So what are you reinforcing? Sexual thoughts. So the important thing is to take direction from your own spirit. You will know when it's time to let certain things in your life go to a new level. I'm not saying to let them, to avoid them, but allow things to fall off naturally. You'll notice as you refine your frequencies that you will simply automatically choose lighter food. It's just a normal thing. Not everyone is going to be directed to be vegetarian. In fact, some people actually don't need vegetarianism at all. It's not particularly useful for them because they need a more anchoring, grounding kind of diet. The sexual expression is perfectly normal. There's nothing wrong with it. It certainly isn't anything that you should try to force yourself into something that probably you already did and outgrew in another lifetime. I mean, which one of us listening tonight hasn't had or sensed that they had an incarnation in which they were in a monastic order? I mean, all of us, I think so very many of us that listen to me in particular, have had incarnations as yogis in India. We have done all of the diet, all of the rigorous, what would you say, denying of the physical body. You know, we've been in the caves, we've been in the monasteries. We've slept on the cement floors and you know what I'm saying. We don't have to be loyal to disciplines that we have outgrown. That's one of the things my teacher told me many, many years ago. Don't be loyal to disciplines that you have outgrown. Well, how would you know you'd outgrown a discipline? That's a slippery slope. Because the ego is so clever in rationalizing self-indulgence that it will make it seem like you've outgrown something when in fact it's just trying to get you to back off on your self-discipline because it knows you're going to realize a level that's going to make it obsolete. Be aware of that. I think it really should come from an enlightened master telling you that directly before you assume that you know what you've outgrown. The other way is that a really good master teacher, generally speaking, will usher you gradually into another line of teaching when they've given you everything that they can give you. For example, I was ushered into the teaching of the movement of spiritual inner awareness by my guru, Sai Baba, because he saw if I stayed in that Eastern direction, I was just going to repeat the past. I wasn't going to really enter into modern-day life and master it. Because I, like very many of you, was scared to death of the world, getting trapped here. And I wanted to go back into the so-called security and safety of what was familiar to me, which would have been a cloistered order of some kind, or an ashram in India. So Sai Baba placed me with a very excellent Western master who taught me exactly what I needed to know, which was everything is a stepping stone on the way to God. Everything is spiritual. So you learn to live in the world as a loving presence and to see everyone as the beloved. And that was exactly the teaching that I needed. And also the teaching that I impart or try to impart each week to you, those of you that are listening, because I think probably like attracts like. So I'm probably speaking only to myself in these radio shows, which is the way it is anyway, in highest truth. We only speak to ourselves, and we only listen to ourselves. So just consider me another of yourselves and, you know, see if there's something here that's useful for you to use. So to fully experience being alive, this involves every level of your being, emotionally, mentally, sexually, financially, nutritionally, in terms of what you enjoy. Every one of us has different things that we really, really feel uplifted and enjoy being, you know, participating in. Your dharma is to find the things that fill you with that sense of inner happiness and joy. Yeah, there are going to be things in the outer world. Sure, why not? I love horses. Sometimes I just have to get near a stable so I can smell horses, sweaty horses, and horse manure, okay? That makes me wildly happy. Why? I don't know, and I don't question it. It just makes me happy. So find those things in your life that cause you to light up inside. Doesn't matter what it is. You don't grade things in terms of spiritual or non-spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Everything is made of the consciousness, the light, the love, and the sound frequencies of God. There's nothing whatsoever but God. Now, having given yourself that permission, have at it. Enjoy life. And know that when you go into your patterns of fear, or when you sense an inner psychological block, or when you get that antsy, restless, I feel like I'm going to crawl out of my skin feeling, or even in the maximum where it would go into a panic attack, 9 times out of 10, that's your next spiritual level of energy trying to find some wiggle room into your life. It's your own empowerment knocking at the door. And your lower self will interpret that as fear or restlessness or whatever. Do you get the picture? Now, how you release that is to do just what I was suggesting. Find something that you can participate in, either in that area which feels blocked, or something that distracts the self as you go off into another area to experience, and meanwhile that block just slips away. The key here is move. Keep moving. I can't emphasize enough that the nature of the lower vibrations of this world is inertia and death. Everything goes into inertia, sinks back into itself, goes into entropy, that's the fancy schmancy word for it, goes into entropy, which is basically death. Everything spiritually goes into centropy, which is the electrification of matter. It's where you excite the atoms of your existence and infuse them with an energy called Fohat, another fancy schmancy word, that comes out of the esoteric realm, That simply means the pure monadic energy of the divine source that comes down through you as divine will. And that divine will looks like stubbornness when it lands in the realm of the ego mind. It looks like being very, very set in your ways, very closed-minded to new information. It looks like a person with their arms folded across their chest, their feet firmly planted. They're not going to budge come hell, high water, or the apocalypse. They're wedded to their position, okay? That's the ultimate state of a soul that's just closed off to this higher influx of energy that's seeking entrance. Now, that can then act out in very bizarre ways as addictive patterns, as violence or criminal activity. I mean, the energy's got to go somewhere. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to use you, that energy is going to be captured by some other force and used anyway. You know, it's going to go somewhere. It's going to go into addictive patterns or some form of dis-ease, mentally, emotionally, or physically. Physically, very often it produces strokes or heart attacks or Bell palsy, or in extreme cases of closed-mindedness, dementia. You know, it's an awful truth, but what you don't use, you lose. And so everything in your life has to be exercised in a way that keeps the energies active, keeps them active. You have to excite yourself and psych up each day to your life. You can't wait for life to come and excite you or events from the outer to come and make that transformational little wiggle jiggle in your life. And you know, you got to import. You got to import your own party. Bring your own bottle. Not of alcohol, of Amrita, divine nectar. But you have to bring your own party. You can't, you know, just go constantly looking for some distraction that's going to make you happy or shift your state. Mastery, self-mastery, is being able to shift into higher states of consciousness at will, not being a victim to the circumstances around you. You direct where your mind goes. You direct where your feelings go. You direct where your body goes. You do. This is not something that can be taught from without. You can't catch self-realization and self-mastery secondhand from another. And you can't even understand a higher level of truth unless you've already established a place for that spiritual insight within your consciousness. And that ends through previous experience. And if you don't have that previous experience in your chalice, you won't even be able to understand the new information at all. So the Master Moria would often say that it is by human hands and feet that we ascend and attain the heights. So everything must be realized and anchored by your direct experience. And the only thing a master really can do is point the way and shorten the time of your arrival at those higher levels, because they can defray or offset or mitigate a lot of the karmic baggage. As soon as you learn the lesson, they can just, you know, the karma can fall away without you having to go through every single little thing and reap every single effect that you've set in motion. That's the value of having a perfect master, a true guru. Then also, a true master will take the karma and hold it, giving you enough breathing space that you can begin to handle your life sequentially. You know, he or she will dole out what you can handle very carefully, so that you can chew and swallow each bite of your karma without choking on it. So it's interesting to note that we will only resonate with a teacher or a teaching, or what we are encountering as a new concept or idea, so-called new, if it agrees with what we've already accepted or known at some level. In other words, you'll find that the books you like, the films you like, the spiritual teachings you like, simply agree with what you've already decided is so. So that's all. That's all that's happening there. When you go out with your mind to do a, to take a seminar, to read a book, or to ask someone for their, to do a reading for you, to give you some guidance, really you're only going to take away what you've already decided is so. So you might as well save your money and learn to do your own soul purpose overviews. You can go into your own levels and you can ask a question, you can sit with your journal, and if you're quiet and you listen, you will receive a whole downloading of answers to that question that will just appear in your mind. Yeah, you're probably going to think it's you making it up. Forget that. Just write it down without critiquing, without thinking you know what's going on, and later you read it. I promise you, you're going to be amazed at how accurate the information is and how there is a part of you that does know. You just haven't given it much wiggle room in some cases to speak to you. Everybody's having conversations with God. Everybody. There is not a single person on the planet that isn't having a continual dialogue with God. Continual conversation is going on. It's just that many of you are distracted and you're not paying attention. That's all. But once you get it, that God will use every single thing in your environment to give you a message, from the things you watch on TV, to the things you overhear in conversation in a restaurant, to the things that you open to at random in a book, to the people that speak to you in your life and give you feedback, everything then becomes the golden-tongued wisdom, as the masters call it, where that golden wisdom comes through. Just anything. Sometimes I'll get one after another of license plates that give me a message, or signs, you know, billboards on the when you're traveling, doing cross-country tours, which I've done so many. It's amazing when you're looking for God to speak to you how everything suddenly has a message in it for you. That turns out to be extremely directive and clarifying and accurate. So once you get the hang of it, that God is always speaking to you, you always have exactly what you need in your life, whether it's money or food or a place to sleep or whatever it is, I promise you, if you pay attention, you will find that sufficient unto the day is the substance thereof. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," I think that's what he was referring to. The daily bread, the daily sustenance, whatever is needed, comes to you when you walk in your purpose, in your divine dharma. What if you're not walking in your purpose? Well, if your life hasn't come into surrender to your higher soul's purpose, you're probably acting out of the ego scenario. And the ego scenario is not very pleasant. You know, that's where you have a really, really hard life with a lot of really unpleasant things that happen to you regularly, and you rarely have a happy, peaceful, joyful experience. That's when you haven't given your life fully over to the higher part of yourself, and you're still allowing your ego mind to direct you. And it's not pleasant. That's why the most important lesson that we can learn on the spiritual path is to yield our entire beingness to that which is greater. Some people call it surrender, but many Americans don't like that word because they think it implies some sort of slavedom. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking again about laying your personal agendas, your ego momentums aside, and asking for your true purpose to come forward, and that you be used for a higher divine purpose on this planet, that your life be significant. And as Mother Teresa so beautifully said, "Lord, make, you know, let my life be something beautiful for God." So offer yourself with that kind of an attitude. Let my life be something beautiful. You don't have to even say God if that doesn't sit well with you. But let it in some way contribute to the beauty and the well-being of the planet and others. And you'll find that there's a dramatic shift in how you experience life once you've made that as your overriding, overarching life's commitment. So the levels at which we progress, okay, when you go through a certain level, and bear in mind that in your spiritual path, when you start to receive an influx of new energy, generally it produces a feeling of confusion. This is often where you write to me and you'll say, ah, I just don't know what ends up. I'm so confused. I don't know which way to go, what to believe. I don't know if I believe any of this stuff. I don't know where I'm at. Help. That is often because you have a new level of initiation that is trying to integrate with you, and it has to displace some of your old stuck opinions. You know, you got to let go of those old clothes that are cluttering your closet before you bring in a new wardrobe, or you won't have enough room in your closet. So your mind is like a closet, you know, and if it's all congested with things you think you know, there is no room for any new revelation. So be content to not know for a while, to watch the confusion without identifying with it or making it wrong. For heaven's sakes, don't judge yourself, and let yourself be. You know, it'll all sort out and find its place if you're just patient. And don't make a big deal out of these temporary, very underlying temporary states. The next thing that you often go through in between levels is the dark night of the soul. God knows I've gone through those. Whoa, they're pretty bad in terms of what you feel. You feel pretty rotten when you're in those dark nights of the soul because they're really dark and you can't sometimes see any light or any brightness or anything that could shift your mood from gloom to brightness. But in my experience, every single dark night of the soul is just before a breakthrough. So the thing you have to do in the dark night of the soul is endure. Endure. Do what you have to do to comfort yourself and to get through the night. And I can promise you that on the other side of the dark night of the soul is the bright breakthrough into your next level of consciousness. So in your spiritual life, it's normal to go through dry desert periods where you can't feel any love or any devotion. You're not in the mood to meditate, do yoga. You don't give a rat's butt about anything. You're just dry. You know, it's just dry. It's desert. It's like parched. You know, you just give anything for a little taste of something that would make your life a little bit juicy. And then you have the mountain peaks. You know, you have these wonderful high epiphany experiences where you think, oh, I'm enlightened. This is it. I've gotten the highest level of spiritual attainment. And just about the time you think you're, you know, the guru on the mountain peak, you fall into a valley. And that valley can be all sorts of things. It could be a very beautiful vista where you can see the mountains, or it can be depressing because you realize you've got to climb another mountain. And when you get to that one, you go into another valley, and there's another mountain. So valleys can be different experiences for you. And then along the way, there are plateaus where everything flatlines. And, well, there's two ways. Well, maybe there's many ways. But the ways I've experienced plateaus, it's kind of a nice time when you feel like, wow, I'm just really doing well. Everything is flowing nicely. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. I know what my mission is. I'm living on purpose. You feel pretty good about yourself. But spiritual life is not stagnancy. It's not sitting down and making butt prints on the sands of time. It's continually moving, unfolding consciousness. had to take a sip of water there. It's continually, eternally traveling consciousness, etc. So no matter where you are, whether you're in confusion, dark night of the soul, dry desert, mountain peak, valleys, or plateaus, the one thing that you know is going to happen is change. It's going to shift. You're going to die to that level to be born to your next level. So there's a death, a relinquishing, a letting go of what up until then has been like a wonderful thing. It's worked for you. It's made you happy. And all of a sudden, you're like a kid in the playpen, and you're discontented with all your toys. You're bored with everything. You're bummed about everything. Nothing looks bright and hopeful. And, you know, you're tempted sometimes to throw in the towel if you're, you know, haven't got your spiritual muscles really built up there. And that's the least and last thing you should be thinking about. You need to be very, very, very compassionate with yourself, very patient, and very dogged at hanging on, like a bulldog with a seat of the pants in his little jaws. Man, those suckers won't let go once they have bitten down on whatever it is they've bitten down on. But you got to hang on to God and that robe, that divine robe, with as much tenacity as a little bulldog. And also know this, that when you're ready to go into the deeper levels of spiritual realization and initiation, invariably a teacher will come into your life. For practically no one makes it into the far country of the God realms without a physical master. In fact, it's so rare as to be unnecessary to even consider. Now, the master finds you and contacts you when you're ready, because you're chosen by the master long before you were even born in this lifetime. And this master has already been watching you from the inner planes and guarding and guiding your spiritual unfoldment for many, many lifetimes. So it's inevitable that when you get ready to go into the far country, which implies self-realization and moving beyond self-realization into the God realms, that's moving out of your own universes and your own realms of creation into the greater omniverse of the God self, the God, big God, you need a master that will take you beyond. And when you're ready, the physical connection is made. Now, the path that I'm practicing is the path of soul transcendence through the divine light and sound of the Supreme Deity. And this path requires one to have a physical teacher who has the ability to initiate and connect you physically with the sound current. This person also has to have the ability to hold and mitigate much of your karma and keep it for you and dole it out as you can handle it until you're able to handle it on your own. There will come a point when you have to hold your own level. You have to handle your own creations. You have to master yourself. But a lot of grace is given to a person. In fact, you don't even come into the sound current path until most of your karma has been worked out already by you. So this is the path of soul transcendence, or Surat Shabd Yoga, as it's called in the Sikh tradition. It's called different things in different paths. I think every path has an inner sound current, inner circle of secret oral teaching. But you have to look for it, because most religions worship the outer book and the outer word, and they've lost connection consciously with the living word. So most of them are like dry husks with outer formality and outer rites and rituals, but they don't have the living light and the living sound, the living word within them. And so they're dry, and they're not going to take you anywhere. They're going to bind you to some outer shenanigans that has no ability or way to liberate you into higher states of awareness. So those could be things that you've outgrown. You know, if you're stuck on a path where you're occupying a pew week after week, or a prayer mat, or a yoga mat, or whatever, and you're not showing any significant difference from the way you were last year, you might want to look again and see if perhaps you need to expand your spiritual horizons a bit. So you ascend when you're initiated into a bona fide lineage. This is the value of it. It's like trying to scale Mount Everest. The chance of you doing that alone, unaided, is so what? Next to nothing, right? Chances are you won't make it. But if you go up linked together with a master mountaineer who really knows the path, that's been up and down that mountain a bazillion times, and you're all linked together with other consecrated and conditioned and devoted hikers, you're going to be tethered together, and you're going to go up as a group, and there's little to no chance for you to become lost or you know, in any way come to harm. For example, if you're kind of lagging behind or you're not quite strong enough, there's always going to be someone who's going to help you. If you're a real strong climber, you'll help those initiates that aren't quite as strong in that climb. But that way, you're sure that you will ascend to that mountain peak. And the mountain peak is simply symbolic of the soul realm and above. The soul realm, the realm where you really come from down into these human levels, is the realm that is... it's where you reside as a pure divine emanation. And it's called the realm of truth. And it's the first real realm. The other realms beneath the soul realm are all what's called illusion or samsara or maya, or as I like to call them, holodeck. So they're educational arenas for consciousness to experience and learn, but essentially they're unreal. You know, they're just set up. They're mocked up for the education of soul. But once you get into the soul realm, you're actually in reality. That's the first plane of reality where you're going into the real creations of God that are not part of duality. They don't have the polarized experience of the lower realms. So each level must be entered, mastered, secured, and maintained by your own efforts. In fact, when you are given a vision of a new level, usually that's your epiphany, peak experience, then you have to go down into the valley of everyday life and practice it and practice it and practice it until you have fully embodied that and homogenized that in your daily life. Then you get to ascend another mountain, go through the whole process again. And that's how you move through your levels. And you have to secure them. You have to secure yourself at each level before you're allowed to go on. How do you secure yourself? Well, you do it until it becomes automatic. Just like riding a bicycle. You practice it until you no longer have to even think about it. It's automatic. You suddenly become the living love. And your automatic response to everyone is one of goodwill and loving openness and friendship. Automatic. You don't even have to think about it. Your heart's open all the time, and your whole modus operandi is to be of service. That's securing the level of soul awareness. So when that's automatic, you know that you're in those higher, or at least you've got your toe in those higher levels of consciousness. So support, protection, and assistance, as necessary, is always there from your upline. But you must apply the keys and master your life's curriculum. Because how else are you going to mature into full mastery? How else are you going to do that? The only reason a soul comes into the earth is when they want to truly manifest and, well, master, experience, master, and manifest multidimensional awareness. Because this is the only realm, you know, the physical realm, where you can have a full continuum of consciousness from the highest to the deepest compression of matter. So that's why we come in. And those of us from the higher realms, we come in to be of service. We're not here for ourselves so much as we're here to help others. Of course, in the process of helping others, you will progress to your next level. Enlightenment is endless. It's infinite. It's open-ended. There's no end to it. So it's not a goal to be achieved. It's a daily walk. It's a daily choice. It's a daily gift. It's a gift to wake up each morning in a human body, which everybody on every realm covets to have. Everybody wants a human embodiment. And according to the masters, everything in existence has either been a human, has transcended the human state, or is just coming and aspiring to be a human, or will be a human. Because the human incarnation is the springboard to full cosmic identity and mastery. But, you know, there again, when you're a master at a cosmic level, there's a bigger cosmic level. So again, it's infinite, it's ever unfolding, and it just gets more and more beautiful, more and more joyous. All of the pain and sorrow departs once you know who you truly are as a divine incarnation. All of the, you know, all of the drama of the lower levels falls away at some point, and you simply move into divine bliss itself. So keep going. Don't look back. Never judge yourself. You don't have enough information. And find ways to enjoy your life, to show up, to participate, to get involved, and have fun. You know, every day find and do something that really, really makes you happy. So let's go out chanting Om Shanti and sending that vibration of all-pervasive peace to every man, woman, and child, every nation, and all people on all planes and dimensions. Deep breath. Send the blessings to each one of our ground crew. We thank you. We acknowledge you for showing up, because however you show up, we love you and we bless you, and you're doing a great job. Just give yourself some credit and some compassion, because we're all moving through this as best we know how now. God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you next week. And I'm Commander Lady Athena, the Ashtar Galactic Command, Adonai.